Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Everybody, welcome to the HP podcast. I'm your host Dustin. Here with me, the beautiful boys Phil,
what's up,
and Ben.
Hey,
how are you guys this lovely evening?
Good, and you?
Not so bad. It's hot out. I'm kind of mad about it at this point. I'm not mad. That's not the right word, because you know, like Ben says, we shouldn't complain about warm weather. It was a little hot today, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a little hot.
You didn't say all I said. I usually say. I always say I never complain in the summer so that I can complain all I want in the winter.
Right.
I save up my complaints.
Right. That's what I always say.
That's how it works.
I don't mind the cold, actually. I just hate the snow.
You know, we were talking.
Mind the snow. I hate the cold.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't like things that keep me from doing things I could normally do, like snow. I have to get it off my car and go through all that. I don't mind. The cold doesn't keep me from getting, you know, to work at a convenient time. I have to get up earlier because of the snow, not the cold. That's what I don't like. I don't care about the cold necessarily. I actually prefer the cold to the hot.
Right. But see, it would be easier to shovel off your car faster if it wasn't so cold.
Yeah. Without the cold, there's no snow, and then it's just moot.
It's true.
We were talking about Boston and PAX.
In February.
And it's earlier this year. And boy, it's going to be, I mean, who knows? It could be, there's been Februarys where it's been warmish by the end.
I remember helping my dad build a deck in January one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. I was wearing shorts.
I remember once in like 2002, we had recess outside in January and it was like 70 degrees. And I remember it was like the most unseasonably warm day.
Yeah.
So it could happen. You know, we just got to hold out hope for it.
Keep on believing.
Phil, are you drinking a coffee right now?
I am.
Full calf coffee right
Full
now.
Full calf coffee.
Man.
Yeah.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you?
No.
You a little a sleepy boy from work today?
No. I was actually off today.
Oh, you're off?
Oddly enough, yeah. Oh. Working on a game for us.
Nice.
Most of the day, but I was off. Spent the day at home. Got to get some things done around the house.
Nice.
But yeah, I didn't. I went to a place. People listening won't really know, but in Vallant, there's like a little area where they have all the shops near us. And I went and got a bag of pumpkin spice coffee because it's that time.
Because you hate yourself.
Oh, no. Quite the opposite. But it was about 90 degrees whenever I got there. So I was going to get whatever they had on tap for the day. They usually brew, you know, one flavor each day. And today sounded really good. It was like a caramel coconut blend, but it was just too dang hot for a cup of coffee at that point. So I've wanted a cup of coffee all day. So here we are.
See, some people are like, it's hot out. I don't want to drink something hot. I remember specifically like walking around at Cornerstone Music Festival at 100 degrees with like a hot coffee.
That sounds terrible.
Doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I wouldn't want to constantly drink something hot when it's hot outside, but got to have
like coffee. People talk about soup. Don't want soup when it's hot. Don't want stouts when it's hot. I'm like, they taste good either way.
Dude, the stout thing doesn't make any fucking sense to me because a stout is at least cool.
Right.
You know, you're not drinking a hot stout. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
First of all. So the fact that people don't want to drink stouts.
No, it shouldn't be ice cold either.
No.
We all know that.
No.
And I don't mind a coffee in the summer if I'm going to be inside. Like Cornerstone, that's a little different. But I was walking around outside, going to the shops and things like that. So it was just a little hot.
I had spent most of my day inside just working on stuff and then playing games and doing whatever. But I stepped outside because my wife thought she'd lost the key to our shed. And so I was helping her find it. And I felt awful for that 5 minutes I was outside. So then I just went back inside and stayed there for the rest of the day. So pretty nice.
Good plan.
Ben, what about you?
What? What about me?
What's going on?
This is an existential question.
It could be, okay. If you want it to be. What about Ben?
Not a whole lot different going on. One of the days the only day of the week I used to take off, I no longer get to do.
Dang.
So I'm now working 7 days a week, which is a blast in some way, shape, or form. So that kind of stinks, but I'm staying up a lot later, which is already a stretch for me. So it's, I don't like getting up early, even though, you know, I have to most of the time, but I do love staying up late, because no one else is awake. No one's there to bother me. Sometimes it gets a little lonely. Like I want to pop in the Handsome Phantom Slack and like tell a joke or something. I'm like, nobody's awake.
Nope.
So I don't, but no, I'm doing good overall. Just exhausted.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm staying up so late.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. I have a tendency to wake up every couple hours in the middle of the night, and sometimes there's a message from you in there, and then I'll reply, and you instantly reply back to it.
Yeah, the other night, I think I sent you a message at it was like 2:30 or 3. Yeah. I sent you a message like hours before that.
Yeah.
You responded, and I'm just like, oh, Phil's awake. Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Nobody's awake right now.
Yeah. I usually wake up, and then I'll get on my phone for a couple minutes until my wife yells when the screen wakes her up, and then, yeah. But yeah,
she's still mad at me.
I don't think she ever was.
I know. It was kind of a joke.
She, she even said that. Yeah, she's like a wizard, kind of.
Yeah.
She arrives and leaves exactly when she intends to. Yeah. So she was good.
Yeah.
She had nothing to do the next day. I'm the one that had to go to work.
No one knows you guys are talking about.
No.
No, no, it's fine. We're just bantering.
Phil's wife was mad at me. And no, she's not. Except she wasn't really mad at me.
No, she wasn't at all. She's mad about something else that we're going to talk about later. But she's not mad at you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our dreams.
All right.
And a shout out. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go for it.
This is kind of a lame one. Everybody's going to do this one. And also, everybody in the world is thinking this at the moment. I'm dreaming about finally getting to play Shadowkeep.
Hell yeah.
I haven't even tried to today. Today's the day of release because I kind of knew. I didn't even intend on it before this because I kind of thought things might go awry with the servers. And you know,
apparently they have.
Yeah, they have.
Yep.
I mean, come on, people. You've got a ton more people on the day of release than you're ever going
to
have.
And probably a ton less servers than they used to have.
I don't know about that. No, they probably have equal or more.
Right, because free-to-play started today.
Boy.
So.
Yeah, you got free-to-play and you got a new expansion, so it's just a mess. It's an understandable mess, but I'm excited for when I get to play it. My shout-out, I want to do a dual shout-out. We have a friend who threw a little Oktoberfest-type party the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All the local Handsome Phantom folks were there, so that was fun. But my other part of my shout out is today I was hanging out with my kids for a couple hours while my wife went to an appointment and they were like, I want to play Spider-Man. I was like, you know what I do too. So I popped on Spider-Man on the PS4 and just let my kids play. And not only did it make me remember how great of a game that is, it made me realize how great of a game it is that my kid could at least somewhat swing around the city.
Mm. Yeah.
Just with very little coaching from me.
Right.
He wasn't really doing that well when he was trying to fight the thugs and stuff, but just swinging around the city. So it's a good game.
It took me a while to get good at fighting the thugs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a complicated combat system.
It is. Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that DLC, though.
I bought it.
Really, did you?
I had a $10 credit.
Oh, nice.
It was $15. I paid $5 for it. And you know how much of it I've played?
None.
But I will eventually.
That's the problem. I've got so many things that I've bought and haven't played. I'm trying to do that before I get to the DLC. But
yep.
We'll see. Yep.
Phil, you're close to that platinum. You need to do it.
I know. There's a couple I don't know if I'll get, though. I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
I don't platinum a whole lot.
Phil, what are your dreams?
So my dreams, we have hit October, which means it is Oscar season. So my dreams are of the good movies that I'm going to be watching over the next couple of months. We've got some hopeful bangers coming out from directors like Terrence Malick.
Terrence Malick, I keep forgetting.
Wait, yeah. What's he got?
It's actually a true story. It's more narrative than usual. Like, it actually seems like it has dialogue and an actual plot, if you will. But there's a lot of buzz around it.
It's like during World War II, a German who decides that he doesn't want to.
Doesn't want to be a Nazi, basically.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I think it's a pretty long one, too. I think it's got a long, almost a three-hour runtime, which there's a lot of, 1917 is coming out, and it's got, I think, over a three-hour runtime. The Irishman's coming out. It's got over a three-hour runtime. So we've got some long award movies. Just about to
Which means the Academy is probably not going to finish all of them.
God, which sucks. I mean, that's... Although I think people are already penciling in a lot of those.
Yeah.
You know, for already nominations at least.
Right.
Which, but the Globes, I'll tell you one thing too. Part of my dream is it's always Oscars, but the Globes too. There's a lot of movies I've seen recently that I don't think are going to get into the Oscars, but will probably get some love at the Golden Globes, which is always nice.
Yeah.
A couple of movies I saw called Brittany Runs a Marathon. So anything for that. And The Peanut Butter Falcon. Both really good movies, really good messages. Great performances, but you know, might get into the Globes, probably not going to get into the Oscars, but that's my dream right now. A lot of good movies. I sat through a lot of summer trash just trying to get to this season where we
swim through the,
some stuff was rough, but, so here we are. That's kind of my dream. As far as my shout out, I'm just gonna give a shout out to video games just in general.
You better thoroughly explain the shout out.
I am.
It's a bit of a cop out.
I am. It's not a cop out. So we get a lot of games to review. Okay. We'll just say that. Games I would not normally play. Let's be honest. Games I would never play unless I was given it to review.
Sure.
And a lot of times they're very surprising and they turned out to be a lot of fun. I recently reviewed Freedom Finger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we saw that at PAX and like, I'm like, what the hell is this? This middle finger shooting game. Like, Brandon was raving about it, which was another red flag. so, you know, but it turned out to be a really fun game. But I never would have played that otherwise. Just a lot of fun indie games like that, that, you know, I never would play if we weren't in this position, which you know, just very thankful that we have the opportunity to play these games. And hopefully through us, people will read that and see what we think about it and maybe check it out themselves.
You know, I don't know if I said it out loud or in the group Slack or whatever. Out loud to me is basically the team Slack.
Same thing. Yeah.
I feel bad for the people who made Freedom Finger, because every review I read scored well, including yours, Phil.
Yep.
I played a little bit of it. Seemed fun. It's not a game I want to play all day, but it seemed fun. So it reviewed well for the people who reviewed it, but then I looked and there were only 3 reviews on release day and maybe a couple more since then, but I haven't really looked.
Yeah, I haven't looked since.
And it's like for a decent game with presumably a decent size budget because like they had Nolan North and, you know, they had some decent talent there.
They had good coverage from IGN in previews. Prior,
yeah.
You know?
They certainly didn't review it though.
No, they didn't. Which...
But like... People like that who are making quality stuff and just for whatever reason, it doesn't grip the social consciousness or, you know, it's not in the Twitter sphere.
That's so unrelatable for us.
It is very much unrelatable.
To work really hard on stuff and then have, you know, very few people see it, you know.
So maybe weird. I just felt a little bit of kinship with those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy playing, you know, World of Warcraft Classic, you know, 30-year-old game.
Enough with War of Warcraft Classic. That's what I'm saying to everybody. Enough. Enough with World of Warcraft in
Please.
General.
Please, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Move on.
Yes. The video games are awesome.
You've justified your shout-out, Phil.
Thank you.
You've done very well.
Thank you.
Let's see. I got my shout-out first. And that is, I want to shout-out this YouTube creator called My Name is Byf. That's B-Y-F. It's a channel centered completely around Destiny, specifically Destiny lore. I specifically want to shout out this video that is a complete Destiny story explanation.
Ooh.
It is 4 hours long.
Worth it.
But it is perfectly structured in bite size pieces. And so I put this video on the other night and Holly was looking at her phone. And I saw her like perk up. She's like, oh, I'm actually really interested in this. So over the past 2 days, for maybe, you know, 30 to 40 minutes at a time, we've been watching this Destiny lore. Extremely extensive.
Yeah.
We're talking like it covers all the backstory, the entire timeline, everything that happens in the games. Any kind of lore imaginable from Destiny is covered in this.
Wow.
Highly recommended. Extremely well done. Even has original artwork in the video, specifically for the video. It's fantastic. So
you gotta send me that link because my experience with Destiny is very little lore and mostly I just like the gunplay.
Yeah.
So I'd love to know more about it in a digestible way.
The lore is insane.
Yeah.
Do they touch on the wizard that may or may not have come from the moon?
Yes, they do actually.
Nice.
They
nice.
Specifically make a slight joke about it.
Good.
Too.
Good.
In the video.
Good.
So no, the lore is cool because it's so extensive. Like each race and their leaders all have extensive backstories and
are they canon or is this just out of their imagination?
No, this is all canon.
It's all really.
It's the interesting thing about Destiny is so much of the lore is hidden behind the Grimoire cards or like on a weapon, or now they're just straight up like, here's some lore documents that you can read.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
So the lore is not really necessarily implemented into the game very well.
I was going to say, but what it's
almost, it's not, I don't want to call it like Tolkien-esque, but it's in that realm and then you have all these different races and all their own motivations and cultures and things like that. So,
right. Cool.
I feel like I don't have a very good dream. And I was like, what's just something I desire that I've been dreaming about recently? And the only thing I can think of is, a matcha cake.
Whoa.
I was thinking about the other day. Because here's the thought.
I could really go for a matcha latte.
Matcha is fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's what I was thinking. I was like, well, you could just take a normal cake, vanilla cake mix, add in matcha, and then I think you would have a matcha cake.
I don't see why not. I mean, it's a solid theory.
So
I don't know anything about making cakes, though.
I mentioned this theory to Holly, and she said, I'll find a matcha recipe and make you a cake. So
it's going to be an expensive cake.
You can buy the baking matcha.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, the good kind is for the when you're drinking
pure.
I will say Starbucks matcha, whatever, Frappuccino.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Really?
I love it. It's not real matcha,
if I remember, I like it. Yeah, if I remember correctly, when it first was announced, you mocked it.
Oh, yeah, I probably did. it's not the real.
I would have too. I mean,
yeah. The thing is that. The matcha, the way that Starbucks does it is not the traditional way, but that's really not how they do anything there.
Right.
Yeah, they don't do anything the traditional way.
Right.
I know my wife went to get a green tea smoothie or something like that, and it's just like this green
powder. They poured some syrup into it.
With tons of sugar and stuff. And so I like it. I like it both in that situation.
Well, like, I don't care. I still like Frappuccinos. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, this is not a coffee drink. This is definitely a milkshake.
It's a milkshake.
Yeah. And they just like squirt some flavors into it. There's no coffee. I mean, okay, there probably flavor. Really is. There's coffee.
A little bit of espresso probably.
Right. It's terrible.
They're delicious though.
They're great.
I tweeted about this, but I have to tell you guys in person now. I've discovered a recipe to make cold brew instantly with the AeroPress.
Nice.
Do you drink cold brew, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, dude. I have it when it's accessible. I don't always drink
it. Get an AeroPress, dude. It's lit. You just mix up super fine coffee grounds for one whole minute. Pop that sucker out. It's pretty lit.
Nice.
Next level. All right. Are you guys ready to get into news? Lots of news.
Always ready.
Nice. A ton of news.
Good.
Actually. I just want everybody at home to know that my mic stand is broken.
Oh, do you need a second there?
I've been there.
What?
Do you need a second?
No, I'm just holding it now.
Okay.
It's fine.
Cool. You look like a rock. You just need like a jive left and right and you're ready to.
Can you see me driving, Dustin?
I don't know if I've ever seen you dance, Ben.
You know, I used to instruct ballroom dancing.
I know that.
It's crazy.
I've never seen
even when I think about it, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well,
I won a competition one time, Dustin.
Do you think Sean Layden won a competition for dancing?
Let's find out.
Let's find out. Sean Layden has left Sony. And so here's the info and then we can discuss.
Yeah, Sony took the in-one tweet approach.
Yes, the in-one tweet approach
is what they did.
So here's the tweet. from Sony's Twitter account, or the PlayStation Twitter account, says, "It is with great emotion that we announce that Worldwide Studios chairman Sean Layden will be departing Sony Interactive Entertainment. His visionary leadership will be greatly missed. We wish him success in future endeavors and are deeply grateful for his years of service. Thanks for everything, Sean."
Thanks, Sean.
What do you guys think about this?
It was sudden. I mean, like, and it was just that one tweet. Like, I was just on Twitter the one day, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. Sean's gone. That's something.
Except you texted us about it.
Yeah.
Like, 2 hours after we already.
Well, that's fair.
Phil,
but just, I was at work for a good chunk of day yesterday. It seems kind of weird. I don't know. I bet Sony hasn't really done a whole lot, so maybe it was his idea to not go to all these places and cancel all these events. And
well, we know that.
So I'm hoping that this means they're going to get more active again.
The way you are saying that, do you feel like he's been let go in some way?
Oh, yeah. I think if he would have, when Reggie retired, he let us know about it. Sean hasn't really said anything.
Well, that's, I agree with you.
Right.
But also, that's not uncommon for major people in big companies to do public, you know, not make it public beforehand.
The world is changing, though.
He could have said internally, "I'm leaving in 6 months. Please don't tell anyone."
It's true.
Or he could have said, "Hey, God forbid, I'm very sick and I'm tendering my resignation immediately."
Yeah, I hope that's not the case.
Right, of course. But I feel like there are reasons for people not to want everybody to know they're leaving ahead of time.
Hard to say.
The only other theory is if he's going to a competitor.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was Greg Miller posted something about this, which is odd that I even saw that tweet. But his theory was something how – is there something that if a competitor, if you get scooped up by a competitor, you might leave that day?
Well,
like the day you accept, you switch over?
For sure. Well, so like in my industry.
Some kind of legal thing.
If you're going to another bank, let's say.
Yeah.
And you put in a 2-week notice, we'll usually tell you just to go home that day.
Right.
Because we don't want you taking your clients and your, you know, whatever with you.
Right.
Which technically they can file as unemployment for 2 weeks.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So it's not unheard of. I mean, that's a big possibility.
So Sean rolls in, says, "Hey, I'm leaving. I'm going to Stadia. I'm going to Xbox."
Yeah, that makes wherever. More sense. Yeah.
They're just like, "Okay, see ya."
Yeah.
Because the other thing that Greg pointed out was they didn't do a press release for all their other change of big staff.
Yeah.
Press release.
Yeah.
And what is your business mind think about?
Well, that. The first thing I noticed as soon as I saw that tweet was it is with great emotion. And I understand that even if it was a positive change, they could say, you know, it's with great emotion instead of saying we have sadness and happiness.
Also, anger is an emotion. They could be pretty pissed that he's gone.
Yeah. The other thing, that was the other thing, is with great emotion means we don't want to tell you how we feel about this.
Right.
We just feel a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, one, that tweet was structured in a very smart way as to not alert everyone or that anything could have potentially been wrong. I think that it's probably unlikely. Like, how, I don't know, how old Sean Layden? Not that when you get to a certain age you can't work anymore, but like, it feels like he might be wanting to retire at this point. He can't be too close to the end of his, you know, professional career.
I don't know. I'd say early 50s. I don't think he's that old.
No, but he's also been working for Sony for 20 years and probably has a decent chunk of change filed away.
It's true.
He's 58.
Okay.
Wow. A little older than I thought. Okay.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sure he's still got a lot of years ahead of him. He could work, but maybe he wants to just retire and be out of this. Maybe his pension came, like, he became eligible for his pension yesterday and he decided to leave. Who knows? Right. I mean, I don't think he would do that, but who knows?
I will say this connects to a shout out that I had a few weeks ago too. But God bless Jeff Keighley for getting the three of those men on stage at the Game Awards last year.
Two of them are already gone.
So
he became he succeeded Jack Trenton, if you remember Jackie T. Before that,
is he the one from the commercials?
No.
Who was that guy? That was always
Kevin Butler. Actor. Kevin, was just an actor.
So, how do you guys think, just because I'm thinking, like, I'm more leaning of the mind that this is sudden and unexpected, mm-hmm. and that he's going somewhere else.
I think that's entirely possible. I don't see any reason to not think that. I actually lean it's entirely possible, too, that he was let go or forced out. Those things usually are pretty unexpected as well. But I feel like he's done a lot of good stuff.
Right.
So to me, yeah, it seems like yeah. It would have to be a pretty extreme case for that to be the situation.
That's my thought, is that, you know, you're King Dick right now.
Nobody's unhappy with First Party. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
They're the top. They've won this generation
right.
by a landslide. And so you're on the verge of, you have a huge head start on PlayStation 5. But I guess, you know, if someone like Google says, hey, whatever your salary is, we're going to match it. We're going to double it.
Yeah.
Because we want your talent to make this platform succeed.
Right.
Maybe then, you know, he does move over.
That. Yeah. For sure.
So did any of the First Party studios tweet about Sean?
No.
I didn't see them, which does make me a little bit more curious about the idea of him getting let go.
Hmm.
And the back and forth between like him and Corey and different people has kind of gone down a lot the last few months.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to tweet to them individually a lot. And actually, his presence in general seems to have just gone down a lot. I haven't really seen much he's been, and maybe it's just not showing up on my timeline.
Well, it's also, he just hasn't been in as many events, too.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
But I do think, okay, not to get too conspiracy here, but I do think there's something, I'm shifting my tone a little bit to that, because even the studios congratulate each other on new game releases and everything, to not wish their boss best wishes seems a little odd.
Very
if it was on... Yeah. You know, happy terms.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know.
I think we'll either... It definitely feels like it's a...
It was sudden either way, for sure.
Sudden yeah. and more likely to be negative for Sony, we'll say. Whether it's right. him leaving or whether maybe he's sick.
Right.
I mean, or maybe there's someone in his family and needs to step down. Again, I don't want to peddle rumors. This is all... speculation
right.
and
right.
it's, I don't want to speculate about someone's personal life like that too much, but based on reading the tea leaves here, it definitely seems like something like that.
Perhaps it wasn't planned very long.
Yeah
And I do think it's interesting. I mean, I don't know, things like that happen all the day. It was the last day of September, but it was also a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I don't know, maybe we'll find out more, maybe we won't.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the last we've heard right. of Sean Layden.
Well, so, not if your theory is correct.
Yeah. Or maybe, yeah, we'll find out that he's at against. I feel like Stadia could be something. Like Xbox, they've got Phil, who is obviously proven to be fantastic at his job.
Maybe Jeff Keighley's stage is poison.
Oh.
Maybe Apple's
Phil's
gonna,
next.
Phil's next.
Apple's going to put a console out in the market.
They don't need a console.
No.
They got consoles that everybody has in their pocket.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I agree, but terrible. The games are on there.
You're right. And they're using PlayStation controllers.
Any final thoughts about Sean Layden
before we move on? He always seemed like a really nice guy that was off-putting to me.
Yeah, I saw him at our first E3 that we went to as a site. I remember seeing him at the event.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to say hi to him, and then I was like, he's just a... You know, business guy. He's here for work.
Great.
We tweeted each other a couple of times.
He was always tweets.
Yeah,
a couple always, tweets here and there. You know, he would do that kind of thing. So he would interact with people.
All right. PlayStation Now has a new price.
Ha.
$9.99.
That's big a news. Month.
What was
that
it
is
before?
Huge news. Yeah. I think it was 15 or 20.
I thought it was 20.
Might have been 20.
Does it work yet?
That's a good question.
So here's the key thing that I think a lot of people forget, and I think that Sony needs to. A marketing push.
Yeah.
The PS4 games that are on PlayStation Now can be downloaded to the console.
Okay.
Basically making this sort of like Game Pass, except for it doesn't include the entire first party of PlayStation games.
Just like Knack.
It has. So right now there's two. Yeah, I think it does have Knack.
Well, why wouldn't it
have Knack?
Right now they just added Grand Theft Auto 5
mm-hmm.
and God of War on there.
Cool. Have them both. Next.
Right. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah, most people are going to have them both. But if you don't, if you're just coming into the ecosystem. Yeah.
True. True.
Right.
I would. Yeah, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
I think Bloodborne might be on there. It is. If you're first coming to PlayStation for $10,
right,
this would be great. Even if you did it for 6 months and played a bunch of stuff, that'd be better. Than,
you remember when we were kids and we would get a console and sometimes you had a pack in, sometimes you didn't. But when you get that console and you're like, oh, I saved up this money for this $400 console. I'm so glad I get to get it. And then you're like, I don't have any games.
Yeah. I did that with the Nintendo DS. I bought it and I didn't have any games.
Yeah.
So I had to play Game Boy Advance games on it.
Yeah.
Until I could borrow a game from somebody.
Yep.
But so I don't, I'm curious about this because it seems aggressive. It seems like they're starting to, you know, they want to be competitive with Xbox, but clearly I don't think putting their full first party lineup on there is a smart idea.
Right.
Because it's worth the money.
Right.
For, you know, $60 when Last of Us 2 comes out. Everyone's spending $60 and buying it
at launch. Yeah. Minimum.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think they ought to have like maybe 6 months. After 6 months, then it goes on or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Like maybe. EA does that with their vault.
Right.
Games go into their $5 vault after like 8 months or something.
I don't think it should be less than a year necessarily, but they have to update it somehow. They got to keep putting new stuff on it.
They do. And I think what they're doing now is good, but I wonder if it's because everybody has one and they've seen either non-growth or stagnation with the numbers or even decrease. I feel like, you know, you just have, you've got all these other ones that already exist. Game Pass is really stepping their game up. Then Apple Arcade comes out, and the people who are, you know, not that Apple Arcade is a direct competitor, but there's certainly people who will be like, well, I can spend $5 for all these really good games that the media, the games media is loving right now. I might as well drop my subscription for a month while I play these. Like, I could see it being a lot of things, but I don't know. $10 a month almost makes me want to bite on it, even though I'm not going to. Because I have too many things to play.
I feel like it's just right above, like, I don't know. What's Humble Bundle a month? Is it like 12?
Yeah. There, I guess feel like Humble Bundle's been bad lately.
It's not been great. I've actually been thinking about dropping that because I just...
I'm at the point...
It has one or two good games a month, but then there's like six.
I'm only buying if I want the instant unlock now, which has, it's been a lot of months since I've wanted the instant unlock game.
So I haven't even checked the last month or two, probably.
Yeah, it's not been very good.
I went to add Call of Duty, but then I realized it was on, because we talked about that before, putting it on the Handsome Phantom
company account.
Yeah, but the problem is it's a, you know, Uplay.
Right.
It's not Uplay, obviously, but whatever Activision uses.
It's on Battle.net.
Battle.net.
Yeah.
That's the one. So, and I don't think we have a Battle.net account yet, so we got to figure that shit out. But, yep, there's a lot of stuff on there. I had to just put it all on.
The streaming side of PlayStation Now, not very good.
Yeah, still?
Right.
That's when I tried it a couple months ago, it looked like compressed poop on my screen.
Cool.
That had a lot of latency.
Cool.
So I don't know if it's where we are and that we're specifically far away from a server because we have good internet here.
Right.
It's really fast. But it was not good. So Last of Us 2 will not include multiplayer.
Yeah, that's good.
So here's the thing.
Is it good?
It's very good.
It came out that multiplayer was not happening for The Last of Us 2. And a lot of the news brought up a bunch of stuff. People started complaining. Naughty Dog springs into action and releases this tweet that says, an update regarding multiplayer. We wanted to address multiplayer in The Last of Us Part 2. And we've stated the single-player campaign is far and away the most ambitious project Naughty Dog has ever undertaken. Likewise, as development began on the evolution of our factions mode from The Last of Us Part 1, the vision of the team grew beyond an additional mode that we could be including with our enormous single-player campaign. Wanting to support both visions, we made the difficult choice that The Last of Us Part 2 would not include an online mode. However, you will eventually experience the fruits of our team's online ambition, but not as part of The Last of Us Part 2. When and where it will be realized is still to be determined. But rest assured, we are a big fan of factions as the rest of our community, and are excited to share more when it's ready. Mm-hmm. So,
it's good.
I think it's good too.
I think it's good for multiple reasons. Yeah. Reason one, it won't delay the game if it's not ready. Reason two, they won't rush it and give you like a Metal Gear Survive situation. Mm. And reason three, now you get two good games out of it, you know, and it'll be ready when it's ready, and we'll play it when it comes out, and that'll be that.
I think another reason is that it's almost impossible when you're reviewing a game to also review multiplayer and not count that as the same game, because it is, I mean, in theory. So I actually wonder if, like, if they had multiplayer and it wasn't quite up to par or the servers weren't working right, if that was going to affect their...
It would have to.
Yeah.
Because like, if it's in the same package, it is the game. It's part of the game. So, and Factions was fun, but it's not... The Last of Us, it's not nearly as good as a single player campaign.
Right, but it has a rabid fan base.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think the important thing, and a lot of people have already talked about this, but this single player campaign is going to be fucking enormous.
Yeah.
It's on two Blu-rays, like Red Dead.
That's insane, yeah.
Two discs, so.
I hope it's not as long as Red Dead.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it'll be as long as Red Dead.
Well, it's got horseback riding.
That's true.
So it could be. It could be.
So, yeah, I think the consensus is this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Let's talk about Bungie now. We talked about Bungie a little bit on the top of the show with Shadowkeep.
Mm-hmm.
So IGN did an interview with Bungie's CEO named Pete Parson. They were talking about the future of Bungie and Destiny. And he says, quote, "Our vision ultimately through 2025 is to become one of the world's biggest best entertainment companies." I'm sure biggest also is on their mind.
Yeah.
"One is we need to begin transforming Destiny, the Destiny that we really believe in, like the thing that we think Destiny needs to become. I think you've seen that in the vid doc, like the single evolving world. We need to focus on that." And then, so moving on, he says, "So by 2025, we have a pretty..." I copied and pasted the same thing twice. "We need to build our publishing group, but part of our vision is also to become a multi-franchise entertainment company." So that's the nugget there.
Yeah.
They have to do that if they're going to become bigger.
Of course, yeah, because, I mean, Destiny won't live forever.
No. Halo could have. They could have.
I don't think so. I think Halo's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Xbox is like, hey, our new system launching with Halo Infinite, people don't care about Halo anywhere near as much as they used to.
I'm so much more excited for that than any Destiny news, though.
Damn.
Personally, I couldn't give a rat's ass about anything Destiny.
But you've never played Destiny.
I've played both of them. I've beaten both of the...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I think this is cool just because we're seeing Destiny and Bungie become self-published.
Yeah.
They're on their own. And obviously, their ambitions are much higher than just Destiny.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But I will say, and I'll put in air quotes for everyone that can't see what I'm doing. I like the campaign. That's what I'll put in air quotes. And that's, you know, once that was over, that's why I don't care about Destiny
as much. Right.
So I'd rather have a traditional multiplayer, and the Crucible stuff was there, obviously. But like, I didn't think that was nearly as much fun as some of the Halo multiplayer modes and stuff like that. So once the campaign was done, I was pretty much done with it. And that wasn't very long.
Yeah.
But I put a lot more hours into Destiny 1 until I just realized that I like things to end, I guess. I think that's why I like single player stuff a lot better than multiplayer to begin with. I like actually feeling that accomplishment of completing something. The job that I have, you know, it's the same thing all the time. You just always, you know, I don't know. So
I will say in Destiny 2, the thing that I like more, if there is even the possibility of me doing a mission or running some kind of instance at all, mm-hmm. I would much rather do that than jump into Crucible or something.
Yeah.
I'm much more interested in anything that's kind of story related.
Yeah. I also had trouble with the first one. I didn't realize I don't think anyone did at first, how the actual, you know, you actually progressed.
Right.
So I started playing a shit ton of Crucible and then realized that that's not really what you should be doing. But then I realized to actually get enough light that I needed, instead of starting over and doing other stuff, I actually really had to grind through Crucible because I was too far to really turn back.
Yeah.
So it was a horrible thing.
What you just said does not make sense.
I agree.
But that's the way it used to be in the dark days, the early days.
Not Crucible, though.
Not Crucible. You mean the campaign?
Well, like, so after the campaign was done, I jumped into Crucible and I started really just grinding on that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the things that I was trying to upgrade or trying to get, like, all my skills were there.
Right.
So if I would have tried to do like the other shit out of the Crucible, I would have basically been back at zero trying to. Yeah, it was weird. It's not the way it is now. It used to be different. They changed it about the time of whatever the fuck, the Taken King changed everything. But it was terrible back then.
Phil?
Yes.
I don't understand.
That's fine.
But that's okay.
Basically, to get any kind of good items, I had to just keep going on Crucible because I had already gone so far. I don't like to put a lot of time into grinding, and I didn't want to grind through the other shit.
Maybe it was just a matter of the one thing I will say about Destiny is when you go in, they don't explain anything.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing.
So maybe it was just a matter of you totally didn't understand what you were supposed to be doing next.
No idea.
Right.
So yeah. I was out.
Oculus put out some updates. Not some updates, but they had a big press conference at Oculus Connect this past week. And there are three big announcements that I want to touch on from that event. First of all, finger tracking is coming to the Oculus Quest.
It looks amazing.
So basically, it uses the Quest cameras. Mm-hmm. It can tell where your hands are, and you can see them in the game.
Mm-hmm. No controllers.
No controllers. But I think some people are getting the wrong idea about this. Mm. I saw someone on a podcast or something talked about, like, yeah, you won't need controllers anymore for the Quest. Like, the games you'll just be able to play. Maybe it was you that said that.
Well, I said, yeah.
You said that, and someone else I heard say that also.
No, so they made it look wasn't like, that I was making a statement. I was saying, right. how could they even do that? Because there's games you need buttons for, and you said, no, they're not.
Right. I think it's like an additive
right.
experience that you'll be able to use your hands, which I'm just thinking, like, if you pick up an object in VR
right.
with finger tracking, do you just, like, pretend, hold it? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the grip, at least right. with the controllers, you have like a stopping point almost.
I feel like a sword fight or a lightsaber thing, something like that would be good for. Obviously, guns would be tougher.
Yeah.
Because it'd have to track your trigger finger and probably wouldn't work well.
I'm just really curious about how it could be implemented to be fun, I guess. I just don't see the practical applications of it.
I guess it just depends. I mean, it could create a new genre of games.
Yeah.
Probably no.
That's true.
Patty cake.
Whoa.
In VR,
over the internet, dude.
That's right.
MMO style. So
you need some haptic feedback gloves. And
so we'll go to the next most important, and we'll end with a big one. There's a new game from Respawn, Oculus exclusive. That is the new Medal of Honor game. Medal of Honor has been dead for a long time. They tried to bring it back late last gen.
Was it last gen? I thought it was this gen.
No, it wasn't this gen. It was last gen.
Okay.
But they modernized it. They tried to make it more like Modern Warfare.
Right.
They took it out of World War II. They did two, I think, games outside of World War II.
Hmm.
They were fine. Whatever.
So what do you guys think about bringing it back?
I'm okay with bringing it back. Yeah, I don't know about bringing it to this VR. Way.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to play a new Medal of Honor game.
Right.
Made by Respawn. Who is basically the team that left to create Infinity Ward.
Right.
So these are like the original Medal of Honor, you know, maybe not the whole team, but at least the guys that were big in when it first started.
Right.
So that's I would love to see them do an actual Medal of Honor game.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. In one sense, I saw some other people that were like, this sucks because we want Medal of Honor, but not like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, Medal of Honor was dead. So
it was dead a long time
this
ago.
This could... To me, it's like, well, this is better than nothing. And if people really latch on to this, then maybe there will be a new Medal of Honor game.
There was one in 2010 and one in 2012.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty late last gen.
Yeah. About as late as you can get.
Let's talk about the last important thing, because I still have one more thing that I want to do in this show that might take a little bit of time. Oculus Link is a new feature that's coming to the Quest. And basically this will allow you to use a USB-C cable and you will be able to play PC Oculus games on your Quest. Basically, almost eliminating the need for an Oculus Rift S.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically Oculus is kind of cannibalizing themselves a little bit. So do you guys think this is a good idea? Or are they shooting themselves in the foot here, you think?
Well, it might be a cheaper way for them to get more people to play it. I don't know what that, what's that cost? Do you know what it costs? Is there a price point on that?
For Quest?
The Link.
For the Link.
Oh, the Link cable, you'll be able to use
just any
USB-C. Any USB-C that's like up to a certain standard or whatever. So but they are releasing their own too, of course.
Right. But. So it's probably a way for them to sell more games too if you've already got the Quest.
Right.
I don't think anything bad can come of it. I mean, if you want the better thing and the, you know, you're going to pay for that anyway probably, but the people that can't afford it or don't want it, gives them a chance to buy more games.
Right.
Well, they probably saw the amount of sales that I have a feeling that the amount of sales of the Quest was way higher than the Rift S or for the sure. original Rift or the, what's the other one, the Oculus Go or anything else. And they probably figured, well, I imagine this was in development before this, but they certainly incentivized them to say, well, we got this many more of these out in the wild. Mm-hmm. We got to have more games sold. We got to have more abilities for people to use them.
Yeah.
There's people who aren't going to buy both for sure. That this could be a good possibility for, but I think part of it is that you're probably finding fewer and fewer developers willing to develop specifically for the Quest.
Like, it's probably true.
They're going to sell a lot of games if they do, but it's a lot, the game's going to be a lot less quality.
Yeah.
The marketplace or the library of games for the Quest is definitely its biggest shortcoming.
Right.
I would say. But
I feel like I haven't seen that many games come out for it since they released it.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting because I think that, first of all, it's not going to be as good of an experience as the Rift S.
Right.
From my understanding from the previews, because basically in a standard headset, you're actually getting a video signal and then you have a data connection that reads the different stuff that's happening.
Right.
With the way that the Quest will take it in is that it's a purely a data line going from your computer to your Rift and then the Quest, and then it decodes everything. Right. So there will be a slightly more lag than on the Rift S. But yeah, I think that eventually this will cut out the Rift S in general.
Yeah.
Because why would, when someone goes at a Best Buy and they're like, well, you can buy the Rift S and it just connects to your computer, or you can buy the Quest that does both.
Right.
That's the sales pitch from the dude at Best Buy. Right. You know? So why would at this point you even look at that? If you want a high-end VR experience too for PC, you're going to go with something like an Index at this point.
I think the best chance they have at taking it mainstream is definitely doing this and eliminating the Rift S, because like Phil was saying, they want to move more software, because generally you're making a lot less money on the hardware than you are on the software.
Right.
You know, the stories of Microsoft and Sony both losing money when they initially release a console, knowing that they're going to make it up in accessories and games and stuff. So I certainly think that it's probably a smart move. It does probably, I don't know, you have a Rift, you don't have a Rift S, but does it kind of sting a little bit?
No.
Okay.
I think it would really sting if I had just bought a Rift S.
Right.
But I think the proof is in the pudding when you, how well it works.
Right.
Because if it's any, feels like any lesser of an experience that the enthusiasts are still going to want to go for Rift S.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. There's different levels of enthusiast VR.
Yeah.
Like there's the very bottom end, which is non-enthusiast, in Oculus Go. Then there's middle of the road, which is like regular Rift.
Right.
Which is now in the $400 range. And then there's the Index, which is literally $1,000.
Right.
So the high end people, this is irrelevant to them regardless.
Yeah.
So. OK. To end our show, I have.
We still got to hear why Phil's wife's pissed at him.
OK, let's hear that now.
She's not pissed at me. We have to have our discussion that we talked about last night.
Oh,
we haven't talked about it
last night.
Was it last night?
Oh, I didn't know we were doing that on the podcast. Yesterday?
Oh, I thought we were doing it on air.
Oh, about I wasn't planning on having it on air.
Oh, it needs to be on air, I think. Okay, then it'll be off air. It'll be off air then.
The quick story for the audience is that I watched the movie yesterday. I hated it. Mm-hmm. Ben thought it was okay, right? And Phil, you thought it was...
I think it's good. It's fine.
Good.
Yeah.
So
it's
we're
not
gonna,
a bad movie.
We're going to duke it out.
Mm-hmm.
Off cam.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. All right. To end out our show, we're going to do
this is a video game show, Phil. We only talk about video games, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Do we talk about video games?
We're going to right now.
Oh, okay.
October through December preview.
Nice.
The last 3 months of the year. Let's end strong. So we'll go through this list and we can chime in as we like.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we used to do this every month?
We used to do it every month, but I'm thinking truncating it into all at once, especially because this is not that long of a list right now. So at the end of the list, we'll talk about your day one buys, your maybe buys, mm-hmm. and your stay the fuck away. All right. Starting off very soon, Ghost Recon Breakpoint comes out on October 4th.
Yep.
I've been getting ads on my YouTube with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
And he says in like his scratchy, not codeine, or is it codeine voice?
Whatever it is.
Whatever that made his voice all weird. And he's like, Ghost Recon. It sounds like an old man like scratching his voice into the microphone. Anyway, that's on October 4th. And I literally don't know anything about this game.
Yeah.
It's a sequel to Wildlands or whatever that one's called.
It will be a huge game.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be giant.
Yeah.
For sure.
I miss the old Ghost Recon games.
They're much more tactical back then, right?
They were.
Aren't they more like a third-person Call of Duty now?
Pretty much, an open-world Call of Duty. Like, it's actually the open-worldness about it that I don't care about.
Right.
I miss, Graw. Graw was great.
Which one was Advanced Warfighter?
Yeah, 1 and 2. Yeah, those were the days. But, yeah.
After that, on October 16th, is Little Town Hero. Mm-hmm. This is the new game from Game Freak.
Mm-hmm.
I was not impressed with the gameplay I saw. Personally,
yeah.
Didn't
me
look,
either. Yeah, it doesn't look very terribly exciting.
Art style was also kind of balls. Modern Warfare is coming out on October 25th, along with two other games.
Yeah, 25th is a big day.
Big day because we're getting the Medieval remake, which I played the demo and it felt like a PS1 game.
Yeah,
sure.
Which I'm happy about.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's faithful.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I'm going to play it.
I am.
You're in?
I'm in on both of those.
You're in on both of those.
The 25th is a very expensive day. Luckily, Medieval's $30.
Also, on
October... It's only $30 instead of $40.
Yeah, well, from everything I'm saying, it's $30, yeah.
On October 25th, we're getting The Outer Worlds.
Yes, we are.
That's
what an expensive day.
Xbox Game Pass, though.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Which I still have.
So if you still have it, Game Pass, you'll be able to play that there.
Did you forget to cancel it?
No, it's I did the thing when we got back from
E3. Oh, the 6 months or whatever,
So I have it till like February.
There you go.
Haven't played it since we got back from E3, but I have it through February.
I waited to activate mine until before Gears, and then I barely played Gears.
I didn't play any Gears, and I wanted to.
Yeah, it's
Gears.
Gears.
Yeah. I always get excited about Gears, and then I play it, and I realize I don't like Gears. So.
Mm.
I love Gears, but I don't, for whatever reason, this one isn't gripping me.
The only one I've ever completed is the first one, and I didn't like it. But every time a new one comes out, I get excited, and then I realize I don't like it.
Are you guys excited about Outer Worlds?
Yeah,
I'm not.
Big time.
I'm not excited. I'm just not pumped for it.
Phil, that is so surprising to me that you're excited for that game.
It feels like everything I want to like about whatever the fuck, without all the shit that I hate. Like,
okay.
I don't know, and I really like Obsidian a lot better. I don't know. I like.
What is it that you hate about Fallout?
I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. Like, when I play it, I'm not having fun. When I look at it, it looks like a lot of fun.
Right.
It's too maybe sluggish and real, and this has more of a
76.
Cartoony feel to it, I think. It doesn't feel as... They're not going for this sense of realism, necessarily. I think it's a nice blend of almost, like, Fallout and Borderlands together in this fun package made by a studio that I like better than those two. So.
Phil, I was going to bring this up when you were talking about Destiny.
Yeah.
But then I felt like it was maybe going to be too mean, so I didn't.
Okay.
Because you were saying how you, in order to progress in Destiny, you had to do just this.
Right.
I was going to be like, is this like when you were playing Fallout and you were over encumbered?
Yeah, my pockets.
And you had to crawl.
Hours.
You didn't know what to do.
Probably 10 hours I crawled with my pockets full, not knowing that you could empty them.
That's what I was going to say. Is this a situation like that?
I was being attacked and I couldn't even turn to like... It was the terror. Oh God, it was awful, man.
Just to be totally, if we're just being honest, I didn't know that story, but that's exactly what you sounded like during you talk about Destiny.
So terrible, so terrible. But here's the thing: Fallout New Vegas is by far my favorite Fallout, so that makes me excited about this game.
There you go.
And also, I'm excited about them going to Microsoft because I think they're going to make good games, and I'm actually going to have a reason to play my Xbox eventually.
They're going
to
make well-funded games.
Well-funded games.
Yes. Which I think will result in very good games from them. So, Luigi's Mansion 3, October 31st.
Jesus, like 5 days, 6 days.
It's a good date.
October 31st, Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, you're buying this one too.
Oh, probably.
Probably.
I mean, definitely. I don't know how many of these are day one, but I want all of those.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
On November 8th, Death Stranding. So, I got more and more feeling this game's going to be bad.
It's good.
Every day I keep thinking this game's going to be bad.
Yeah. There's a couple of games that the more I see about it, the less I want to play it. And that's one of them.
I feel like this might be one of the most profound things I've ever said on this podcast. Maybe not.
It's not a high bar.
So, no.
Would, not, for none of us, it would be.
I think that Death Stranding is going to be the episode one for George Lucas, where they came in, George Lucas, George, we'll give you anything you want. We'll give you unlimited money. And George is like, well, how about Gungan? And kids will really like this. And they're like, yeah, George, you're the master. Whatever you want, just we'll give it to you. And at the end, they're all sitting and watching the movie, and they're like, fuck, what happened? Oh, yeah, we gave George whatever we wanted, and he's out of touch.
Right.
What if this is Kojima's? I'm not saying Kojima's necessarily out of touch, because Metal Gear Solid 5 was still a very good game.
Yeah.
But I feel like too much power. Kojima might be best when he's on a chain.
Well, there's no one to reel him in. So if he has a really good idea, or it's a really cool sounding idea, and he just goes to the nth degree with it, and somebody else would have been like, "Hey, maybe you only need to go five steps that direction instead of 12." Yeah, I think that's kind of the situation we're going to see.
I was already out. But I don't have kids for a reason. And you tell me that my controller is going to have a baby in it talking to me.
Oh, talking to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want that baby talking to me.
It's not going to talk.
To be clear, as we've said before, I've said before, I will be buying it day one for sure. I'm in.
No interest
to check
in this
it out. Yeah. I'm good curious enough.
I hope you like it. I hope
I do too, but
yeah,
I know full well it might be bad.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
I'm expecting this to be a game for Dustin that either plays for 5 hours and never touches again, or he plays it and he finishes it, but it takes him a year and a half over three different segments. Because I just don't think this is going to be a compelling game for you, knowing your style and your tastes.
Maybe.
I don't know who this actually appeals to, period. Like, whose style and taste is this for?
People who like Kojima.
Oh, they're weird people.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Pokemon Sword and Shield, November 15th.
Yep. Another Pokemon's coming out.
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, also on November 15th.
Mm-hmm.
New trailer for this just recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't see it.
Looks pretty good.
Looks pretty good.
Pretty good.
Respawn's doing good things.
I think they're really doing the Lord's
work right now.
People constantly shit on EA for good reason.
Yeah.
I feel like Respawn still, I don't know whether it's just because they're so well respected or something like that, but they're able to do what they want, it seems like, and they're doing awesome stuff.
Right. It's kind of like DICE before Battlefield 4. They used to be able to do it whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
Shenmue 3, November 19th.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, is this one you care about?
I do care about it, but God, there's so much. Like, and honestly, like, if this would have came out 10 years ago, it'd probably be a day one for me. But now I'm more interested in the Yakuza package that's, you know, out there now.
Right.
Because I'd like to play 3, 4, and 5. So it's probably going to take precedent. If I had to pick between one thing right now, playing Yakuza 3 and playing, you know, Shenmue 3, I'd probably pick Yakuza.
I feel like there's a lot of similar vibes between Yakuza and Shenmue.
Yeah.
And Yakuza does literally everything better.
Everything better. And it doesn't waste your time as much.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
People have such fond memories of playing Shenmue.
Yeah.
I think it just looks like dog shit anytime I've seen someone play it, you know.
I had a lot of fun with it back in the day on my Dreamcast, but I hadn't played Yakuza. If I had played Yakuza, I might not have ever touched Shenmue. Now, I had a lot of fun with it, but I haven't gone back and played it in forever.
Right. You can go back now on your PS4.
You can, and I haven't.
Nope. Finally, last but certainly not least, Doom Eternal on November 22nd.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm going to go out right now and say, day one, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard something weird, like they're going to have a hub world in Doom Eternal or some kind of weird stuff. Don't like that.
Right.
But I still think this game's going to be great.
It will be.
So.
Does it have multiplayer?
It does, but not like.
Just like co-op, kind of.
No, basically you can.
Oh, that's right.
There's like an invasion thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You can turn it off if you don't want it.
Right,
but,
right.
And there's also like a demons versus, like it'll be a bunch of demons versus one Doomslayer.
I'm like the only person that really liked the multiplayer on the last one.
Yeah.
Doom 2016.
You might be the only person. That's true.
I miss that type of Unreal Tournament Doom type of multiplayer.
Which, I wonder if anyone's still playing that on like PC.
Probably.
Probably. Might have to check that out at some point.
Yeah.
All right, boys. So what do we recommend? People say is probably good day one. Or
that one's hard for me.
Stay away. What are your day ones?
Let me say this first off.
Okay.
You can go down that list and I think you can make a case for each game being a day one purchase. That is every game has, none of them are like, I mean, Death Stranding might be garbage. Some of them might be garbage, but it's still the first Kojima game outside of, you know, on his own. So I still think it could be a day one purchase. I'm not going to buy them all day one, but I think that's a very strong list of games for the fall. I think all of them other than Death Stranding, I might buy day one.
But I don't know if I won't buy any of them day one.
Yeah. Depends on what we have to review at the time, too.
That's part of it. But the only one that I'm like really, well, there's two on there that I would call like week one, maybe not day one. And that would be Doom and Star Wars.
Yeah, Doom, Star Wars. I don't know why. It is what it is. I love it. I buy Call of Duty day one every year.
You know, I was really thinking about buying Call of Duty this year.
Yeah.
And then after I played probably too many hours of the beta, I was like, I think I'm good this year.
Yeah, I was busy during the beta, so I haven't played it yet.
I don't think I need to play this anymore.
Right. I will, so I'll be buying that day one, Star Wars day one, Doom day one. I'm probably going to buy Medieval day one because it's $30.
That's true.
Medieval. I'm already going to be at the store to buy Call of Duty. So, yeah, there's a lot. What about you?
There's a lot of these games that actually, now I think about it, the only games on this I think I'm going to pick up day one, Doom. Probably Star Wars, Death Stranding. I'll play Outer Worlds because it's on Game Pass.
Right.
Other than that, though, no Pokemon for me.
Nah.
I love Pokemon,
really?
But I don't care.
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, if the reviews come out and they're like, this game's bitching and it's the best Pokemon game yet, then I'm definitely will buy it day one.
But it probably will say that. But it's probably going to be just more of the same thing. They're all good.
I think people are going to be hard on this game because it's the first console Pokemon game, and I think people wanted more, and I don't think they're delivering.
No, it'd be out of character for people to be hard on something.
Do we have like 2 minutes to talk about this?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Concerned Ape, like what's his real name? I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
The guy who created Stardew Valley just tweeted, just heads up, everyone. Starting today, I am self-publishing Stardew Valley on the Switch. With this change, I am now self-publishing on all platforms except mobile.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. So does that, I don't know, is that a, that seems weird to me to announce that. Basically, does that cut out, I mean, that cuts out, you know, somebody who's taking revenue that's doing the publishing for them. But at this point, when there's a game out already, how can you say the publisher isn't the publisher anymore?
Yeah, the only thing I can think is that when it was just him, Chucklefish was involved to do marketing.
Right.
And then they helped out with the ports. So maybe their deal was like, hey, we're going to publish this game. We're not going to take the rights. We want to make XYZ amount of money.
Right.
Once we're done with that, once we make that money,
yeah,
you can then choose to publish the game on your own.
Right. That's totally possible.
So
I just thought it was a weird statement out of like seemingly out of nowhere for a game that's already published on the Switch.
Right.
I don't know.
I didn't put in, there's that big controversy about Frogware.
Uh-huh.
The developers of the Sherlock Holmes games and Sinking City, how there's a big rights issue with Focus Home Interactive. And how their games are getting delisted.
Right.
I honestly didn't put it in there because I don't understand it enough about it to really talk about it. And it's
still
kind of
open. I just saw some headlines. I didn't read it.
Yeah. So.
All right.
You missed a big release, too.
I missed a big release.
October 22nd, WWE 2K20 comes
oh.
out. Has Becky Lynch on the cover this year.
Oh.
So that's probably going to be a day one for me.
That's a day one for you, Phil.
Yeah, I might not play it, but I've just to own it.
Just to own it.
You could just Google that.
Got her on the cover.
You could just Google it.
I just did, just to see what the date was. Mm. Yeah. I thought it was coming up. Yeah, so that's a big one.
I've never played a wrestling game.
Oh, man.
Ever.
Never.
Wow.
Never played a wrestling
game. Wow.
So.
Man, that's a shame. Yep.
Maybe someday I'll play a wrestling game.
Someday when I'm old.
It's not someday.
I'll get into wrestling.
Yeah. That's it. That's all I got for you guys.
Huh.
So, thanks everybody for listening. It's, well, yeah, we're at an hour right now, so we're pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty good.
This episode flew by. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Also, you may be hearing some promos. Because now, of course, it's the HP podcast. I said it wrong the other day during the promo.
Oh.
But we got the promo right after.
But the
that.
Promo's right. But what?
This is we're part of,
right?
And co-founders of the HP Video Game Podcast Network.
Video Game Podcast Network. Right. What did, I left out a word last time.
I don't know what you left out.
Okay.
Just make sure you don't forget that G whenever you.
Yep.
Going through those letters.
The HPV Podcast got Network.
HPV. G.
It's sexual.
It's sexual.
It's sexual, yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I don't understand a lot about sex, so.
90% of people have it.
Oh, okay.
So it's fine.
90. Good.
It's good. Like, yeah.
Now, is that an actual number, Phil?
No,
is it 90?
No, I made that up. I made it. I'm just trying to make everyone, you know, it's not a problem. It's not a bad thing. It's fine.
But anyway, you should check out the shows from the promos you're hearing on this very show.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them. Check it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, you can check out our website, handsomephantom.com. You can join our Discord, handsomephantom.com/Discord. Or, last but not least, help us out financially by going to handsomephantom.com/Amazon to buy whatever the fuck you buy on Amazon. Keep buying that
buy
with our promo
it.
Code. And it'll give us a little money.
It's not a promo code.
Or promo, whatever. Our
affiliate link.
Affiliate link. Yes. We should get a promo code, though. I don't know what it does.
We could get a promo code for our t-shirts.
Oh.
You can only get promo codes for your own products on Amazon to give out.
You could try code Handsome Phantom on literally any website.
I guarantee it won't work, but you can try it.
You can you could try. Might help you out. Maybe not. And on that note, we'll see everybody next week.